Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal, and I'm here, up on the wall, looking out into the horizon, brethren, bringing you the warnings, the information, and the reports of all the events and happenings around the world and across the land. And brethren, as I look out there, I would say that the alert status has gone even higher than the last show we did. Today is Friday, June the 6th, and today, brethren, just today, we broke another record on the highest increase on the price of crude oil. It went up over $10, so we are almost at $140 for a barrel of oil. Now, what is that going to do to the gas prices? It is not good, but let's move on. Now, brethren, I really, really felt the need to do this show that I'm going to do today because the information that I am going to share, I feel is very, very crucial. There are some events that are going on right now, and I really need to share them with you. I wrestled with whether or not I should even talk about this subject, but I really had no other choice because as a watchman, my job is to warn. And no matter how unpleasant or uncomfortable it may make me to bring you any kind of topic, if the burning is in my bosom, and it doesn't matter how I feel, brethren, my job is to warn you. So there is a topic I'm going to talk to you about. Now, before I just come out and say what the topic is, I want to lay a foundation to give you a reason why I am talking about it. Now, in the previous 109 series, that is just before this one, we were talking about the time of sorrows, and that was in two parts. So there is a third part that is coming, and it's going to be actually after this one. I was going to record part three, but with this information that I have been coming across, I've had some people contact me and bring this to my attention. So I have been doing a lot of research on this topic, and I have no other choice than to really share it with you. So let's go ahead and get started. This is kind of a different format, and I would consider this actually an emergency show. So for those of you that are listening, if you're a Christian, you need to hear the show, and you need to hear the things that we're going to talk about. Now, what God has revealed to me is that we are indeed in the end time. We are witnessing prophecy in action daily, weekly. Every few days, another piece of the puzzle falls into place. Now, those of us that have been on this journey long enough can probably recite a lot of the elements of Bible prophecy from memory because you have been taught a lot of the elements of Bible prophecy. You have been taught the signs to look for in Bible prophecy. But my message to you is this, brethren. Some of the signs that we have been told to look for are not the correct signs. We are going to find ourselves looking for some signs that are never, ever, ever going to come to pass. And I established that in some of my other shows. In fact, if you haven't heard the show that talks about history will repeat itself, then go back and really listen to that, brethren. And if you hear what I'm trying to say in that show, and also if you can read the article that goes with it and actually open your own Bible and do your own study and realize, brethren, that according to Scripture, history will repeat itself just like it did in the days of Jesus. In the days of Jesus, there were many Bible experts and educated scholars that had it all figured out, they thought. They had all of the elements of how the Messiah was going to come to earth. They thought, but unfortunately, brethren, we know now when we look back that they thought wrong about the signs to look for and how it was all going to play out. They were totally wrong about the Messiah, about the life of Jesus. They missed it. Jesus said, "You did not see the time of your visitation. You didn't realize." They were blind to it. So in the same way that the Bible experts during the time of Jesus missed the time of his visitation, for the second advent that we are right at the helm of, some of the signs that we have been told to look for, brethren, are not going to play out the way we've been told. They just will not. Now, go back and listen to that show, and it will explain everything that I'm talking about. The reason I'm bringing that up is because what I'm going to share with you tonight is built on the foundation that it's not going to play out like we've been told, okay? And I will use Scripture to show everything that I'm going to say, so I do not make anything up. These aren't the words of man. These aren't the words of an angel that appeared to me and told me these things. So you will be hearing from the Scriptures. Now, again, write down everything that I say. If you do not have your Bible with you, take notes. But whenever you have a chance, listen to the show again, take out your Bible, and really go over it, brethren, because it is very, very important for the remnant of God, for the called out ones of God, for the very elect of God to know the real truth about the end times and of what's going on. If you do not know the real truth, then you are going to get swallowed up in deception and in delusion, and you may not survive. Okay, brethren? These are very strong words, but this is an emergency show that I'm doing. What I'm going to share is so, so serious. So again, get your notepad, your notebook, a pen, a Bible, because this is big time serious alert, red level. Okay, brethren? But for this emergency show, I'm kind of jumping ahead probably 5 or even 10 shows. So I'm going to have to do a quick lesson to get you up to speed on what I'm talking about so that you can understand what I'm trying to say. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go get them. Pause me if you need to pause me, but go get your Bible, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are you there? Okay, unpause. Now, this chapter of Thessalonians speaks about the end times. It speaks about the second coming of Jesus, his gathering us together. It speaks about the son of perdition. And it also talks about a lot of the evil that's going to be going on in the world during the time of his return. Now, brethren, I submit to you that we are in the end times. Therefore, as we read these verses, keep in mind that we are in the end times, and think to yourself, brethren, if we are actually witnessing these things. Okay? Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Let's start there. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And that's the one I want to target on, verse 11. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now, according to the writings of Paul here in 2 Thessalonians, there is going to come a time in our future, or even right now, if we are actually witnessing these things. According to this scripture, prophecy says that the time will come when people will have no love for the truth. It says, and because they don't love the truth, God is going to send the strong delusion. Now, does that mean that God is the creator of evil? Well, actually, when God does judge a people, he uses agencies of his creation to judge those people. And one of the agencies of God's creation happens to be the spirits of darkness, Satan. He used Satan, even though Satan didn't know it, when he was testing Job. He thought he was getting to do all the evil he wanted, when actually God was working a higher purpose. And God always has a higher purpose for everything that goes on, brethren. So according to this verse, God is going to send a strong delusion to the people, that they may believe a lie. Now, if God is going to send a strong delusion during our time, what kind of delusion could that be? Think about that, brethren. What kind of delusion could God send us that would trick us? I've seen books that mention everything under the sun that this falls under. It could be a variety of things. But according to the context of what we're reading, in verse 8 it says the delusion is going to also be related to the wicked that will be revealed, and the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Now, does the Bible talk about a wicked that God will consume with the spirit of his mouth? Yes, it does. Go to the book of Revelation and go to chapter 13 in the book of Revelation. And I'm serious, brethren, go there. Don't just listen to me talk. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Okay? The very last book of the Bible, the Apocalypse, as it's called in some circles. In the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 11. And it says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he causes the earth and those who dwell on it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great signs, so that even he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. Okay, now let's stop right there. Now, tradition has told us that this passage of scripture has to do with describing the false prophet. And I will not argue that statement. It does describe the false prophet. But in addition to that, tradition has gone into detail and actually painted a narrative about who the false prophet is and how he is described, how he looks. In fact, in the Tim LaHaye Left Behind books, the false prophet has his own character, and we have seen what he looks like. A lot of people have painted the false prophet to look like a pope-looking guy, where he's a type of religious mystic type person, or he looks like a Catholic priest in some images that I have seen him described in. In fact, I think in one movie I saw, he looked like a priest and he had a robe on and he had a long necklace with a big cross on it, and he was walking around, and in one of his hands he had that burning incense canister and he just waved it around following the Antichrist around, and that was his job, to walk around with the incense and hypnotize everybody. Okay? Now, I'm sure most of you have seen that image of the false prophet, but let me say right here, brethren, I have stated at the beginning of the show, and I have stated in my other shows and in some articles, that in the end times, the signs that we are looking for are not going to happen. And the way that we have been told some of these characters are going to look is wrong, wrong, wrong. Now, I'm going to say something, and some of you might have never ever heard this point of view before with what I am about to describe, but I just ask this, brethren, if you are a good Berean and you really want to know the truth, then your job is to hear what I have to say, be a wise person and hear the entire matter, and then, like a good Berean, search the scriptures yourself to see if these things I'm telling you are true, and then take it to the Lord in prayer and see if he confirms what I'm telling you. Okay? Now, I'm about to tell you, here it comes. This description of the false prophet is not what you have traditionally been told. I really, really, really believe that the true identity of the false prophet is not even a man. He's not a human being. I'll pause a second and give you a chance to look at your wife or your friend or think about it in your car, scratch your head and say, huh? What are you talking about, Brother Nathan? What do you mean he's not a man? That's exactly what I said. The false prophet is not a man. He is not a human being. In all those Tim LaHaye books, Hal Lindsey, etc., etc., he's the Pope. No, wrong. He is not a human being.
Well, how can you say that? What do you mean?
Okay, here's how I can say it. The first beast that is mentioned in the book of Revelation, by the way, this was a lesson that I planned to record, and I'm going to show you with scripture, point by point, and prove to you that also the first beast is not a human being either. The two beasts of Revelation are not human, brethren. They actually represent an entirely larger group. They represent actual categories of humans, in other words. Now, just real quick, in the book of Daniel, the beast is described and mentioned and talked about over and over and over. Daniel, in fact, is the sister book of Revelation. It's the little book. It's the sealed book that parallels the book of Revelation. The descriptions of the beast in Daniel mirror the descriptions of the beast in Revelation. Now, in the book of Daniel, when Daniel describes the beasts in Daniel, he calls them beasts. He says the word, and I saw a beast. Okay, the angel told Daniel that the beast was a kingdom that would consist of 10 kings in the end times. So when we come to Revelation and we see the first beast rise up out of the sea in Revelation 13, we see it. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That beast is not a human being either. That beast is an actual empire that is going to take over the entire world in the end times under the auspices of the New World Order. Now, I'm jumping ahead a little bit right now, but I'm just saying that and I'm throwing that out. Most of you that are listening, I would assume, have heard that. The New World Order is a real thing that exists. It's a monster that is going to take over this world in our future. The New World Order is not a conspiracy theory. It is actual fact. It was announced, by the way, to the world on September 11th, 1991, when Daddy Bush Senior said, "We are at the dawn of a new world order." He said it, but that's a side note, and some of you probably already know that, but let's move on. Anyway, here's what I was saying. The beast that is rising up in Revelation, the first beast, is an end-time empire that's going to take over this entire world. And I will go into that in the future, but that beast is an empire. So if that beast is an empire, the second beast that rises up cannot be a human. In Revelation 13:1, I saw the beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and his heads a blasphemous name. Now, the 7 heads represent the 7 continents of the world. That's why it means that it's over the entire world. It's very simple. The 7 heads are seven mountains, and Revelation goes on to explain that in a later chapter. What it says is the seven heads are seven mountains that Babylon sits over, and it also goes on to say that Babylon sits over all the kings of the earth. And so if Babylon is sitting over all the kings of the earth, and it's also sitting on seven mountains, then it's sitting over the whole earth. If you look at a map, the earth has seven continents and seven seas, so this beast is over the whole earth. That's what that means. It's not the seven hills of Rome like we were taught from Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, 30 years ago. That's not what it is, brethren. The theories that were in The Late Great Planet Earth have expired themselves and have proven themselves to be an error, okay? Because in Hal Lindsey's book, we were told that the ten horns represent the ten nations of the European common market, and we were told that the common market will stop at ten, and then eventually the common market will unite into one nation and take over the whole world. Well, here we are, and we already have way more than ten nations in the European Union. They changed their name from the common market to the European Union. We are way past that now. There's over 20 nations in the European Union. So the ten horns, we will go into that in a future lesson. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just saying that real quick. Now, the first beast is an empire. It's not a human being. In verse 3 of Revelation, chapter 13, it says, I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed after the beast. Now, tradition has told us that that mortal head wound means that the Antichrist is going to have an assassination attempt on him. He's going to get shot. He will die, and then he'll come back to life. Wrong, 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 brethren. Brethren, we cannot listen to traditions of man that go against Scripture. In the Scriptures, the beast is an empire. In fact, in the book of Daniel, it says he broke the earth in pieces, and he consumed and devoured the whole earth. So that's talking about the beast encompassing the entire globe with the New World Order, the end-time UN dream of the New World Order. That's what it's talking about, brethren. So if one of the heads is wounded, in verse 3, it is not a man that is wounded right there, brethren. If the heads represent an area of the earth, then what that is saying is that in our future, expect to see an area of the earth get a major, major wound in it. One of the heads will be wounded as unto death. That means there's going to be a major attack happen in some part of the earth in our future. And I believe it's going to happen very soon. Now, what kind of wound would cause the earth to marvel that it was a mortal or fatal head wound in one portion of the earth? I would think that that means that there's going to be an area of the earth that may have a terrorist nuclear attack, or maybe even a nuclear attack that is caused by war. Now, if you look at the whole earth and you think which nation could possibly get a terrorist attack that involves nukes, well, that one's pretty easy. We have been warned by Homeland Security that they are very concerned because there have been rumors that some sleeper cells are in the United States, and they have actually smuggled into our borders some suitcase nuclear bombs. So that would fit into Scripture. So brethren, I'm going to go into this in a lot further detail in the future, but I'm just telling you right here. Now, some of you have never heard this before. This is going against the grain of the end time teaching that you are used to hearing. But brethren, I have shown you in my other shows, and I have on the front page of my website that says history will repeat itself. Go read that article that I have on my front page and listen to the broadcast that talks about history repeating itself. Prophecy is not going to play out like we thought. It is not, brethren. Okay? So go and listen to that. Now, I'm going to put that aside now about the first beast. The first beast is an empire that consists of the whole world. Now, if it is an empire that consists of the whole world, can you kill an empire? Is it possible for an empire to die? That doesn't make sense, Brother Nathan. What are you talking about? Well, in the book of Daniel, it talks about this empire that Jesus will find when he returns to earth, and he will break it down and consume it to dust, and he will build his own kingdom on earth. Well, he's going to kill this empire, and the descriptions and references to previous empires also shows them dying. Now, this second beast that rises up is not a human being either, brethren. Now, I shocked you with that already, and you're saying, what? What in the world are you talking about? How can that be? Well, here's how it can be, brethren, because it's not a human. The second beast is not a human. It is an entity of a lot of humans, and since we have heard that the second beast is the false prophet, that part is true. The second beast is the false prophet, but it's not the false prophet in one voice or in one human being. It is the false prophet that represents the fake body of Christ in the world. That's what the second beast is. The second beast is the fake body of Christ, the fake church, the backslidden, lukewarm church. And let's look at the Bible, brethren. Let's quit listening to the words of Nathan, and let's see what the Bible says. Now, look what it says right here. Revelation 13, verse 11, it says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Now, what does a lamb represent, brethren?
a lamb represents sacrifice and Christianity now. It represents Jesus, of course. He was a sacrifice. So that's a hint that God has given us. It had two horns like a lamb, so it represents the false church. Now, why is it the false church? Because it says it spoke like a dragon. Who is the dragon? The dragon is Satan, the liar, the enemy, the father of lies. So this second beast is the corporate religious system of churches that it's going to be over the earth in the end time. Now, think about this, brethren, real quick. What are the two areas of man that we've always been told you never, ever talk about with family members or friends? You just stay away from those two topics because they are so galvanizing. They are such passionate topics in people. You just stay away from them. And of course, most of you could say that real quickly, politics and religion. Politics is a very viral, powerful emotion in pretty much every human being in the world that's a grown-up. But politics can also become an idolatrous god in most people. Even in America, politics, which is related to patriotism because it has to do with politics, it has to do with borders and nationalism. Politics and patriotism is a very powerful religion, even in America. And I will even go far as to say this, brethren. Patriotism is actually the first religion to a lot of Christians, and they don't even realize it. They worship their patriotism. Is that a bad thing, brother? No, it's not a bad thing to feel proud of the country you are from. However, the time will come when people are going to choose their patriotism over things of God. The Bible predicts that. It says so. But let's move on from there. What is the other category of things you're not supposed to ever talk about? That would be religion, politics and religion. Why religion? Because people are passionate about their religion. They would die for their religion. They would kill for their religion. So those two things, God is well aware, are the things that cause war. I'm not saying Christianity causes war. I'm saying religion causes war. So do politics. Now, those two categories of things are the idols in men's hearts that prevent them from actually having a true relationship with Jesus. Because in the book of Hebrews, it says, we belong to a different country. We are pilgrims on this earth. We are citizens of another country, a country not made with hands, a country whose builder and maker is God, a city, a heavenly city. We are citizens of that, brethren. So if we are citizens of a heavenly country, our bond to this earth should be kept in perspective, and we have to realize that this is just temporary. Our lives here are just a little vapor. So we cannot let our passion for politics and religion override our passion for Christ and for the things of Christ. But unfortunately, that is where a lot of people are. Their passion for religion or politics has taken the place of Christ. And because of that, God is going to deal with those two categories of man's idol worship when he returns to earth. God knows that man has that idol in his heart. Now, we know that when Jesus returns to earth in his second coming on a white horse with his saints, with the armies behind him, he's going to set up his earthly reign. We know that. The Bible speaks of that. Jesus is going to be the King of Kings. He's going to be the King over the entire earth. Now, in order for Jesus to start with a clean slate when he gets to earth, when he arrives on earth, he's going to have to get rid of two things on earth. That would be the things that would get in the way of his kingdom. The number one thing he's going to do away with is the politics of man. He's going to do away with them. The second thing he's going to get rid of is the religious idolatry of man, man's religion. Man's religion is man's way to God. He's going to get rid of that because it's full of lies and deception. So politics and religion God is going to get rid of when he comes to earth. So brother, is that scriptural what you're telling us? Yes, it is. And I'm about to show you. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation 19, verse 11. 19:11. Let's read. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed after the white horse. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. The nations, see there, brethren? Empires, you see there, brethren? He will strike the nations, which is actually politics, nations, patriotism. He's going to strike that. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, let's move down to verse 19. So right now, the reason I wanted to read the first part is to establish that this is the second coming of Jesus. He's on his horse. He's returning to earth. He's about to set up his kingdom. And he's going to strike the nations, okay? So, the end time empire, he's going to strike that. When does that happen? We're about to read it. Look at this. In verse 19, it says, "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army." Verse 20, "Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake, burning with fire and brimstone. The rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh." Now, how many of you have seen the images from Hollywood or in books that have been painted of the Antichrist standing next to the false prophet with his little incense thing, and Jesus comes out of the sky and smites down Nikolai Carpathia, that's the name that Tim LaHaye named the Antichrist in the Left Behind books, and the false prophet. They are smited down and thrown into the lake of fire. We've all seen that image. Now let me say this, that image is wrong, wrong, wrong. That is not what will happen. Here's what's going to happen. When Jesus comes back to earth, it says that he smited the beast and threw the beast into the lake of fire. Now, I told you earlier the beast was an empire, that the beast is not human. I also told you that the second beast, the false prophet, is not human either. It's the false church. So how can he take a beast that's an empire and a church that's a false church and throw it into the lake of fire? That makes no sense, Brother Nathan. Here's what's going on, brethren. Jesus, in order to establish his kingdom on earth, has to get rid of politics and religion. And that's what he's doing right here.
No way. Brother Nathan, are you sure? That's not what my pastor taught me.
Okay, just follow. Just watch this. Jesus is a very just God. He's very just. Every person that has ever died, if they die in Christ, they die and they go to heaven. Correct? Okay. If they die and they are not in Christ, where do they go when they die? They go to hell. That's established in the Bible. If you die out of Christ, you go to hell. Now, all the people that have died without Christ are in hell right now. And Revelation tells us at the end of chapter 20... that there is going to be a great white throne judgment where the second resurrection happens. What happens at the second resurrection? You do not want to be at the second resurrection. You want to be in the first resurrection. Now, the people that are raised up in the second resurrection are going to be raised up to be judged and then thrown into the lake of fire. The Bible says that, Revelation 20. It speaks of it. If you don't believe me, read Revelation 20. It starts in verse 11 and it goes on and it says it. Now, if God was not a just God, he wouldn't allow them to be judged. He would just dispose of them very quickly in the lake of fire. But that's not what we see the Bible talk about. The Bible says over and over that God is very just. He's fair. He's going to review everybody's life. He's going to open the books. The people that are out of Christ are going to get to see why they're being judged. God's going to explain it to them because he's a just God. And when he shows them that their name is not in the book of life, he's going to cast them into the lake of fire. That's established. So, brethren, by the way, side note, make sure you get your name in the book of life. You get your heart right with God and get your name written down there. If by some chance you don't think it's in there, then pause this show right now and get right with God. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is, brethren. Don't wait. Don't delay. Now, let's get back to the lesson. God is a just God. He always explains what he is doing. Just like a parent explains to a child why he's going to punish them, God is the same way. He explains to every human being he will do it on Judgment Day. Now, there is an event that is spoken of in Scripture when Jesus returns to earth that is out of character with God. It doesn't make sense. Let me show you. We just read it, by the way, brethren. It says, when Jesus comes back to earth, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, making war. And verse 20, the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in the presence of them who deceived. And look what it says happened to them. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire. Jesus takes the false prophet and the beast and casts them alive into the lake of fire. In other words, they skipped the great white throne judgment. They didn't get to stand before God when the books were opened at the end of Revelation chapter 20. Have you ever noticed that, brethren? Why does he take the beast and throw him alive in the lake of fire? They skipped the judgment. Well, the only obvious reason would be because they're not human. The false prophet, even though he did bad, bad things, he still, if he was a human being, he still would deserve his day in court. However, we don't see that here. We see Jesus throwing them alive, skipping the great white throne judgment. Brethren, right here, I submit to you, they are not human beings. By looking at this, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, and using common sense, by using reasoning, your brain that God gave you, there can be no other conclusion other than they are not human. Even Hitler's going to stand before God someday, brethren. Even Pharaoh will stand before God. Even Judas Iscariot will stand before God. But the false prophet does not stand before God. Why? It's because it is an entity that is not human, that is thrown into the lake of fire. It is the false church. Now, only through the eye of an unblind child of God that has been washed can we really understand this concept that I'm telling you right here. This is a total foreign concept, I know. I know it's totally foreign that what most of you have heard, but the false prophet is not human, brethren. He is not. But because the Christian church has been taught that he is human, we have the church looking for one man, and they're trying to label one man and blame it on one man. That is the reason that I wanted to have this show. Now, let me put it into easier to understand terms. At the end of time, as we get closer and closer to the tribulation period, according to what I just told you, brethren, this is the scenario that's really going to play out. We are going to have the church get weaker and weaker and weaker. It's going to get more lukewarm. It's going to be taken over by spirits that are delivering doctrines of demons. We're going to have men behind pulpits that are delivering doctrines of demons. We are going to have the church exhibiting signs and wonders that are demonic and not of God. And this church is going to be a false church in the very end of time, because Jesus said, "Be not deceived." If it were even possible, the very elect would get deceived. It says that, brethren. What was Jesus talking about? In my previous show, 109 Part 1, I explained about the great deception that is going to come upon the earth. I explained it, and I stated to you, I submitted to you, that the ones that are going to deceive are actually behind pulpits. It's talking about pastors, the ones who say, "I am anointed," the ones who come in the name of Jesus saying, "I am anointed." If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to 109 Part 1. I also have an article that explains that as well. Okay, brethren? Now, this false church that is going to rise up is right now rising up, brethren. This is the reason that we are seeing very, very deceptive days happen before our eyes, and most Christians are not even aware of it. Now, this movement is happening with different spirits, and it's happening through different techniques and different plans, but all together we are going to have a future church that is false and that listens to the doctrines of demons. Now, part of the monster, the demon, the spirit that is behind this end time beast that is rising up, the false church, happens to do with the purpose driven church movement. This mega church movement to build these large cathedrals and temples that are worshipped by the people that go to them. The temple, that's what they worship. That's why I talk so strongly against the megachurch, brethren, is because the megachurch is actually fulfilling Revelation 13 when the second beast rises up out of the sea. The megachurch movement is doing that. The gospel is a strange gospel now in most of these megachurches. This Rick Warren gospel is a false gospel. It's very dangerous because it has turned the gospel into motivational speeches, and we're now hearing things that are totally foreign to the scriptures. But in addition to that one, there is another spirit that is also rising up that is a false spirit of deception that is influencing the church. It's a very dangerous thing, brethren, and I have set everything on this lesson, on this show, up to this point to get to what I am about to say. Now, before I start saying it, I just want to say, for the record, for all of you listeners, that I am not a perfect human being myself. I am well aware of that. In the Bible it says that we only know in part and we only prophesy in part. So no one person has every answer for every situation that has to do with Scripture. I will be the first to admit that. So what I am about to share, I just want to have up front a disclaimer that if God shows me and reveals to me later on that I have been wrong about what I'm going to talk about, I will be the first one to apologize, and I will repent to every one of you. I will repent to my listeners, and I will do a retraction. I will recant everything I said, all right? So I'm saying that, brethren, because this is, in a way, a risky venture to say certain things, because as a watchman, my job is to warn the people. The only way that I can warn people is if they have their ears listening to me. Now, if there are no people to listen to me because they're all angry with me and they leave, then I'm not really able to warn. So it's a double-edged sword with this job description, because my word is harsh at times, it is very blunt, and at times it's even fearful and scary. So I do take a chance and a risk with losing listeners, and even readers because of the harshness of my words. But this is the word that God gave me, and the things that I share here on my website are harsh because we've come to this point. Now, I'm not the only one that God has raised up to do this. God is raising up watchmen all over the land. I have been getting contacted by people from all over the country who are telling me that God has also raised them up in the watchman ministry. And it is not an easy thing to do because there is always, always, always rejection that comes with it. There are always going to be mockers and scoffers. So, brethren, I'm saying everything to say this. I'm about to talk about a person. I'm going to name some names. And that comes with a risk because some of you might become angry with me doing that. However, I have no other choice because there is no way for me to bring the point up with you unless I do mention names. If you do get offended from the names that I mentioned, brethren, I am not doing it to anger you or to act like I'm just a harsh, mean, unloving person. That is not why I am doing it. I am doing it so that I can warn you to try to keep you out of harm's way, to keep you from having yourself be hurt spiritually or go down the wrong path. So again, my disclaimer, brethren, please, please hear my heart here. If God reveals to me later on that I am wrong, I will repent and I will apologize, okay? Now, I was contacted by a friend of mine who asked me the question. He said, is the Lakeland revival of God? And honestly, brethren, I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, have you been following it? And I said, I've heard a little bit about it, but other than just the town, I know nothing. This was a few weeks ago. He said, well, check it out. So I did do that, brethren. I checked it out, and I spent an entire day, almost 10 hours, researching this Lakeland thing. I researched Todd Bentley. I watched his sermons. I read his words. I read the words of people that are associated with him. I saw the videos of his services. I did a lot of research, brethren. And I also talked to some people. I heard some of the testimonies from people that have been there. And based on the things that I heard and the things that I researched and the information that I came up with, brethren, this is a very, very dangerous thing that is going on right now. We are seeing the great delusion that God is sending. Now, here's the interesting thing about this whole mess. On the internet right now, two camps are being formed right now. On the internet, on forums, on boards, with web pages, there are either people who are for the Lakeland revival, and there are people who are absolutely against it. There's no in between. Now, the people that are against it are bringing up the points that I have also discovered myself, and I'm going to share with you those points. The people that are for it, for some reason, refuse to listen to those points, and they say, in their defense, this is God. How can you say that God's not doing this? How can you talk about the move of God? You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. How dare you? Who do you think you are? People are getting healed. There's a spirit there. There's a move there, etc., etc. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, it said, because people had not a love for the truth, God is going to send a strong delusion. So, what is going on in Lakeland, Florida right now, brethren, is God's delusion. He's allowing this to happen. So if people say it's not of God, or are you saying it's not of God? No. This is God doing it because it says he will send the delusion. But let's go further than that. It's a delusion, brethren. It's a spiritual delusion that's very dangerous. I'm going to share some of the things that I came about as far as what is going on down there. Mr. Todd Bentley started these services at the beginning of April. He was asked by a pastor to come and do a revival service, a healing revival service that was only supposed to last 1 week. But during those revival services, things started happening, and events started happening, manifestations started happening, and before you know it, God TV found out about them and decided to start televising them. And from that, long story short, here we are almost 2 months later, and almost every night they're having these services. Now, in these services, they are electrifying. They are full of energy. There is a lot of excitement. But if you saw the actual goings on, and if you really, really were to test the spirit of what you see going on, and you compared the words of Mr. Todd Bentley to Scripture, as a Berean, brethren, you can't be emotional about this and just choose sides based on emotion or by saying, but people are getting healed. To use the argument that people are getting healed, or he's prophesying to them, or he's casting out demons. That is not a good argument to show whether or not it is a valid, safe thing to take part in. Why is that? Because Jesus said, when he was here on earth, it's recorded in the Gospels, and they will say to me, didn't I cast out devils in your name, Lord? Didn't I heal? Didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I? I did it in your name, Lord. I ministered. I preached. I did it in your name. And what will Jesus answer to them? He will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, as I researched the background of Mr. Todd Bentley, and I listened to his sermons, I listened to it on God TV live. I was listening to it, brethren. I heard his words from his mouth. He said that this all started when an angel named Emma, a girl angel, appeared to him and told him that the supernatural, the spirit of the supernatural, is going to be unleashed through him. Revival is going to come through him. But here's what it was, brethren. It was an angel, Emma. So, since Mr. Todd Bentley had the female angel appear to him, he shares about the female angel in every show, because that's what they really are. They're shows. Every night when he has a show, he talks about the angel. The Bible is rarely opened. The scriptures are rarely discussed. A life of holiness and living holy and separate from the world is not talked about. Repentance, a solemn assembly is not talked about. Now, according to the book of Joel, a solemn assembly is what God wants out of us. If we are truly seeing revival, brethren, a solemn assembly that Joel speaks of, where there is weeping and groaning and shame for our sins, takes place, there can be no other description of revival without the solemn assembly, without brokenness, without tears, without regret and remorse for our sins, and without repenting to God and being broken to Him. Without those elements, brethren, it is not a revival. So to call a carnival meeting where people start laughing in their seats, or where people supposedly are getting healed, or where people are just being prayed for, that's not a revival, because their souls still have their dark stains over them. The dark stain of sin does not get removed from these people when they get slain in the spirit. That's not healing them, their souls. Now, going back to Mr. Todd Bentley, he had an angel, Emma, appear to him and show pillars of fire to him. Fire. And I guess that's why he's called Fresh Fire Ministries. He saw a pillar of fire. But I did some research on this angel Emma that he supposedly saw, and I found out, lo and behold, that the angel Emma is actually an entity that does exist. It exists, brethren. Emma exists in some writings, in some very valued writings by a group of people. The angel Emma does exist, brethren. This angel is revered by a group of people. This angel is feared by a group of people. And this angel has even been written in some very revered books by a group of people. Emma. The angel Emma. Now, in my research, I found out where Emma exists. And guess where Emma exists, brethren? Guess where I found the name Emma? I found the name Emma, and actually there are some writings that are revered by a group of people. I found the name Emma, and it's actually Emma O. Emma O is the name of the entity, but I found the name Emma in the Book of Satan. Did you hear me? Emma is an entity in Anton LaVey's Book of Satan. The Satanic Bible has the name Emma O in it, and the name Emma O is an entity in the Satanic Bible. Emma is a demon that exists in his Bible. Emma O is the name of a demon, or the Japanese ruler of hell. That's who Emma is in the Satanic Bible. Emma is the Japanese ruler of hell demon. Now, we have Mr. Todd Bentley, who said an angel named Emma appeared to him and said, take the supernatural to the people. Now, right there, brethren, just right there, I could stop right there. I should be able to stop right there and say, is there something that doesn't add up right there? But still, we have, in spite of that, in spite of Emma being talked about over and over and over every night, in spite of him worshiping Emma almost, we still have CBN broadcasting, we have God TV, we have Charisma Magazine, and we have all these other Christian media channels, TBN, who are praising these revivals, quote-unquote, these services, this circus. We have these different venues. We have them praising these meetings, brethren. Something is very, very wrong. Now, I went a little bit further, and I listened to some of the sermons that Mr. Todd Bentley said, and I found one where he actually says that God told him, in order to heal people, he needs to beat on them. True story, brethren. In one of the videos, in fact, I have it on my website, the article about Todd Bentley, Not All Prophets Are the Same. That's the name of the article. If you look at it, I have a link to the video where he actually says God told him to kick an elderly woman in the nose so that she could get healed. And he says, I took my biker boots and I kicked her right on the face so that she could get healed. And then he describes how God instructed him to manhandle a pastor, to leg drop a pastor, and to tackle an Oriental man and knock his teeth out. He goes on to explain how when he prays for people, that he does those tactics, dropping them, tackling them. Aside from the Emma thing, after seeing that video, brethren, it was like, do I need to see anything else to know that this guy's a fraud? This guy's a joke. This guy's a charlatan. He's a Merlin. He's a seer. This guy is working for the powers of darkness, brethren. Listen to me. Listen to this watchman. My spirit bears the truth here from God Almighty, and if you are a true remnant of God, you will bear the same witness with what I'm telling you, brethren. If you are a true Berean, if you are a true child of God that hears the voice of God, you will bear witness with what I'm saying. This manifestation that is going on in Florida is a strange gospel, and it's a spirit of delusion. It is wrong, and it is very dangerous. Now, let me go on. As I watched another video, there was another video where he actually says he travels around the world in the spirit at will, whenever he wants to. He can go to Australia from the United States, and he actually reported that he goes to different places, and he prays for people, and then he comes back. And he said, I've received emails from people that said, thanks for coming and appearing to me and praying for me. And he even stated that, I didn't even know I went to him, but I guess I did. My spirit's just going, you know, wherever it needs to go to pray for people. So now he's actually saying that he's omnipresent. So he's omnipresent now, and to actually proclaim from his own mouth that he is traveling around the world in the spirit. Brethren, that is divination. That's sorcery. That's the layman's term for that is astral projection. That's very, very demonic. That's when you allow your spirit to fly out of your body and visit other places. That's demonic. That is very, very demonic. And we have a Christian saying from the pulpit that he does that, and the people are not even concerned. I find it very strange, brethren, how there is not a sense of awareness or a sense of alarm coming from the people that are listening to this. I find it very disturbing and concerning how CBN and some of these medias who we count on to bring us the truth of God hear these same stories. They are not feeling alerted. They're not seeing red flags. And then he went on. I was watching one of his videos where he actually starts manifesting a very, very, very disturbing manifestation where he starts shaking and gyrating and twisting and vibrating very, very quickly. And it looks very demonic. To me, brethren, he is manifesting demons. When I saw him doing that, he started shaking his head up and down very quickly, and he did it for a long period of time. He shook his head up and down, like if you were saying the word yes, he went up and down. And when I saw him do that, a very oppressive atmosphere filled my office area where I was watching that. My wife was sitting next to me watching it, and she looked at me and she said, this is not right. This does not feel right. And even in my own home, brethren, I was watching him on video in my own home, and the spirit of oppression came into my home when I saw him doing that. Now, I got a report from a good friend of mine in Texas who watched a video, and he called me and he said, after I saw him do that same thing, I could not sleep all night long. I tossed and turned, and then I awakened. I found myself in an atmosphere of very powerful demonic spiritual oppression. There was an actual presence of demons in his house, in his room, and he found himself actually having to do spiritual warfare and fight them away and rebuke them and command them to leave. He actually found himself having to go into warfare, brethren, just by watching a video of Todd Bentley. As I looked over the internet, I found some postings on some forums. I saw on some websites people reporting the very same thing, that when they watched Todd Bentley minister, quote-unquote, or do his charade, they also found themselves feeling very demonically oppressed. So this is the part that's very, very alarming to me, brethren. And this is the reason for this whole show and for this whole message. There is something going on that is bigger than we could have ever imagined right now in Lakeland, Florida. Right now that we could have ever imagined in Lakeland, Florida. Based on the descriptions of what people are reporting, they are saying that Todd is not only talking to them about this angel Emma, he's also telling them that the goal is the supernatural, the signs and wonders, the signs and wonders, the supernatural. I heard him also say, we don't need more of Jesus, we need more of the supernatural, because people already believe in Jesus, they need more of the supernatural, which is totally, totally blasphemous, brethren. We don't need Jesus, but we need signs and wonders. What did Jesus say? He said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeks after signs. Evil people seek after signs. Todd Bentley said, that's what we need. We need signs. So right there, he is identifying himself as being evil, according to the scriptures. Now, getting back to what I was saying, the infectious anointing that is going on in these meetings is very, very disturbing. and dangerous, brethren, because people are going to these meetings and they are wanting Todd Bentley to touch them and to impart this anointing that he has and take it back to their church, wherever they are from. Brethren, Todd Bentley is imparting this deluding spirit onto pastors, youth pastors, to youth, to young people, to college-age people, and they're going back to where they're from with this infection, this plague, this epidemic of spiritual wickedness. So the reason I'm very concerned, brethren, is because this anointing that is a false anointing, this delusion, is going to spread like a plague across this entire country. And what we're going to see is a spirit of Antichrist, a spirit of false signs and wonders spread to churches across America. That is going to start happening because it's infecting everybody. Now, if the infection got to me from the impressiveness just by watching his video, I cannot imagine how much infection these people who are allowing him to lay hands on them and impart demons on them, I cannot imagine what they're going to be facing. But it's going to be a very, very hard spiritual bondage to break. This is very dangerous what is going on, brethren. Now, putting this all together into one giant picture, I explained to you that in the end times, the second beast, which is the false church, is going to rise up, and it's going to be an entity of a lot of churches that it's going to rise up and be all over the whole world, false church, a false gospel, and this church is going to be possessed by Satan himself. Because it says in the Bible, he had the horns of a lamb. This second beast had the horns of a lamb. In other words, it looked like a church, but it spoke like a dragon, meaning that the power behind this new church, this future church, is Satan himself with spirits and demons and wickedness. Brethren, we are witnessing this happen right now. The second beast is being prepared. It's being groomed right now. Now, how long is it going to take to infect the entire world with this very, very dangerous anointing? I don't know. But between that deluding spirit that is going on in Florida and then the megachurch movement that has watered down the gospel, we have the formula, brethren, for this new beast to rise up. And the reason I am so concerned is because that tells me that we are even closer to the end times than I had imagined. We are getting so close, brethren. Now, this is the other thing that's very alarming. While the world is looking for this guy that looks like a pope with a little incense canister to follow around an antichrist, they're looking for him because the Left Behind books say so, and he would fulfill the false prophet. While the church is looking for them, the false prophet is rising up right in their midst right now, and they are even being a part of that. That is very, very alarming, brethren. The false prophet is arising right now in your corner megachurch. It is rising up in Lakeland, Florida, in California, all over the world where these spirits are going back to take the quote-unquote anointing back. That false prophet is rising up. Very dangerous, brethren. Now, what sort of oppression are we going to see on those people? Do they even notice it? And there lies the most dangerous thing out of all of this, brethren. We have right now, brethren, a young generation of young people and youth and college-age people who all they know is the megachurch. That's all they ever attended, with the watered-down gospel and motivational speeches. They have never been discipled. They have never been taught to hide the word in their heart. They have never been taught true foundational doctrine. They have never been taught that. Instead, they've been given this bubblegum, mamby-pamby gospel and a desire for signs and wonders that has nothing to do with repentance. So we have a whole generation of individuals who are going to go along with this false gospel. So when we see the events of Revelation actually begin, they're going to take part in it and not even realize that they're taking part in it. Very dangerous, brethren. Now, here's another interesting thing. I'm just going to throw this out real quick, and then I'm going to have to close because I've gone way, way over time. But if you look at Revelation 13, when it describes the second beast that comes out of the earth, the false prophet, the church, the fake church, the weak church, it says that what he does, it describes what he does. It says he deceives the whole world. This fake church is going to be deceiving everybody, brethren. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. What is the image of the beast? I'm going to be sharing that in some future lessons also. But look at verse 16, brethren. Right here. Revelation 13, verse 16. Look what it says. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads. That's the mark of the beast. 666. No man can buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast or the number of his name. Now, did you notice which entity is causing everyone to get the mark, brethren? Look at that again. We are in the context of the fake church, false prophet beast. That's the area we're in. Now, in the past, we have been taught that the Antichrist causes everybody to take the mark. Worship me and take the mark. That's not what we read here. It says the false prophet, the false church, the false church, causes all, small and great, rich and poor, to take the mark. So imagine this, brethren. When this actually transpires, what that means is we are going to have fake hireling shepherd pastors who are blind that are going to convince the people in the crowds that the reason for taking this mark or this implant or this chip or whatever it may be is for a good purpose. The church, the fake church, the pulpits are the ones that are going to give the message to take the mark. The church, brethren. And here's why it's going to happen, and here's why everyone's going to go along with it. Because the pastors are going to say, this is not the mark of the beast because we're still here. And the people will all snicker and grin because they're hypnotized now with that deluding spirit, and they'll go along with it. Very, very strange setup here, brethren. But according to the way it's going to play out, it's not going to play out like the Left Behind book said. Now, what I just described is probably not what you have been told. But this is what the Bible says, brethren. The false church is going to convince us. Is it going to be because there's another terrorist attack in the United States? Will there be another 9/11? And pastors will be contacted by the government officials and they will be told, tell all your flock, tell your followers that this is for security purposes for everybody in the church to register to get this new VeriChip. It's for anti-terrorism. It's for the war on terror. So pastor, tell them all to do it. It's going to be some kind of scenario, brethren, that is totally, totally, totally deceptive. But the church is going to convince the sheep, the very elect. Jesus said, don't be deceived. They will come in the name of Jesus saying, I'm anointed. Don't be deceived. Brethren, it's going to play out entirely different. That is my message. That is the message of this watchman. And if that's the case, I want to, like a flint, I want to, like a missile, tell as many people as I can that it's not going to play out like we've been told, and we have to beware. I want to shout this, brethren, from the housetop. I want to shout it from intersections of streets. I want to shout it from the corners. I want to shout it from the middle of churches, from platforms. But most people will not listen to this watchman's message because they say it goes against everything they've been told. But brethren, you pray about what I'm telling you right now. And if we are the remnant of God, only the ones that are remnant are going to really be wise to what's going on, brethren. Only the remnant will realize it and know it. Only them. But with that, I'm going to close. This was an extra side message. But brethren, take it to heart. And if you want to do your own research, I have placed an article about these things on the website, that not all prophets are the same. It's about Todd Bentley. You go and do your homework, brethren, but don't just fall for it. Be very careful. Be very, very careful. We need the armor of God to fight this thing, because this is a spiritual thing that's going on, and it's very dangerous. Okay, brethren, well, I'm going to go now. God bless you. Thanks for listening. And after this broadcast, after this show, part 3 of 109 will be up, so be looking forward for that. All right, brethren, God bless you.